celebrate the feast of Saint Teresa, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, or sometimes called Saint Teresa of the Child Jesus. She lived only a very short life. She was born in 1873. She died in the year 1897. What a short life. And yet in her short life, she accomplished so much. And you know, it is actually since her death that the message of Teresa has been spread throughout the world. A message of simplicity. A message of trust in God. Unconditional trust in God. Not because God makes us feel good or we feel anything, but rather because God loves us and we're called to accept that love, to trust ourselves through that regardless of how we feel. And as Father Michael told us, Teresa saw her vocation to be love in the very heart of the church. And surely there's a sense in which that's the calling of each and every one of us, especially after what Myrna has told us tonight. That we need to be utterly open to the love of God if we're going to live that love in our lives and if we're going to share that love with those around us. So my brothers and sisters, as we come to celebrate this Mass, let us acknowledge the fact that we're so often not open to the love of God. We're kind of closed up inside ourselves. We don't let his love break through. And therefore, because we don't let his love break through, we don't reflect it, we don't share it, we don't pass it on with others. Let us for a moment then just call to mind our sins, and above all, our failure to love. Lord Jesus, you are the Son of God and the Son of Mary. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
You came into this world to reconcile us to the Father, and to make us the children of God. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord Jesus, you are risen from the dead, triumphant over Satan, sin, and death. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have
mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let us pray. God our Father, you have promised your kingdom to those who are willing to become like little children. Help us to follow the way of Saint Teresa with confidence, so that by her prayers we may come to know your eternal glory. This prayer we make through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever.
Amen.
Now will you please be seated as Father Deacon reads to us the lesson.
A reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world, so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen, and do testify, that the Father has sent his Son as the Saviour of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" So he called a little child to him and set the child in front of them. Then he said, "I tell you solemnly, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And so, the one who makes himself as little as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Would you please be seated? Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The rich, the powerful, celebrities? Jesus makes it very clear. A little child. And why does he use that image of a child? I thought about this for some time, and I found it helpful sometimes in trying to understand this, was simply to look at little children in a secure family. What do? Well, they fall over sometimes, and they hurt themselves. But what do then? They know exactly where to run to. They know exactly where to turn to when there's a problem, when there's a difficulty. Not only that, but you look and you see so often that kind of simple, trusting dependence on a little child as it looks into the face of its parents. And I think that surely is what Jesus is asking us. We've heard earlier about the need for simplicity. And perhaps that's part of our tragedy, particularly here in the West, that we kind of complicate things. We make life so complicated, so difficult, even our religion so complicated and difficult. Without its heart, it's so very simple. It is just as a little child basks in the love of its parents. That's what Jesus says when he tells us we've got to change. We have got to bask, to learn to bask in the love which God has for us. A child is secure in its parents' love. It trusts that love. And that surely, very simply, is what God is asking of us. That we should trust him. That we should trust his love for us. Now, it's so easy for me to stand here and to say that to you. But I had to ask myself, do I really, really trust in God's love for me? Do I know that despite all my faults, all my problems, all my difficulties, all those millions of times I've let God down and let other people down, God does not hold it against me. He goes on loving me. Now that's true for me, but it's also true for every single one of us. Do we really grasp this most wonderful truth? But warts and all, God loves us as we are. Do you know that truth? That God loves you, that God accepts you unconditionally. And above all, have you accepted the love which God has for you? Have you opened your heart and your life to that love? Because you see, in the end, that's what makes all the difference. That surely is the way in which we begin the path to unity, as we open ourselves to the unconditional love of God, so we also open ourselves unconditionally to love others, even those perhaps we most fervently disagree with. We're not asked to agree or disagree. We are asked to love. You know, I was once it was in a public place, although it happened to me kind of privately, I felt myself very much reprimanded by God. I am a Catholic priest, but I thank God that I come from an Anglican background. I thank God that so much that I have learned, I've learned as an Anglican. And when I became a Catholic, I did not reject anything from my past. But I brought all that was good and beautiful that I'd learnt from Anglicanism into the Catholic Church with me. And I hope I maintain and uphold that still. But you know, when I was in the Anglican ministry, there was one occasion when a local free church, the United Reformed Church, their church of all things got burnt down. And I felt, well, I must invite them to come and use our church, to worship in our church building. But you know, in the back of my mind, I was wishing, Lord, why do they have to be Protestants? Why can't they be Catholics? And do you know, it was as if I could hear the voice of God saying to me, you can choose your friends, but you cannot choose your relatives. Now, isn't that important? Whether we like it or not, whether we accept it or not, we are brothers and sisters, and that's the start. As Myrna says, we know we are in the family. There's not them and us. There's not prods and Catholics. As Christians, if we have opened our hearts and our lives to the love of God in Jesus Christ, then that surely is the fundamental step to unity. Because if I love Jesus Christ, if I know that Jesus Christ loves me, and if I am seeking to love Jesus Christ, then I am in relationship to those who accept his love and seek to love him in return. We are all in the same family, and that must always be our starting point. Yes, there are differences. There are serious differences. Don't ask me. I don't know the path to unity. But I do know that we are called to love, and to love unconditionally, to love one another. And that's why, I mean, I don't know how many of us tonight are Catholics, how many are not Catholics, and frankly, I couldn't care. But make sure that when in a minute we come to the peace, whether we're Catholics next to Catholics or whoever we may be, when we reach out for the peace, make sure that we really clasp the hand of the person next to us or around us. Look at each other in the face. You're my brother. You're my sister in Jesus Christ. Now, you see, if we start from this, and surely is this not the kind of simplicity that Myrna was talking about? Is it not the kind of simplicity? God loves me, and God loves you. And by heck, we're related. We belong together. God, in his own good time, will unite the church, of that I am profoundly sure. But what I do know in the meantime is that we're called to be open to the love of God. This is our tragedy. It's so often, you know, we're so conscious, oh, I'm a sinner, I'm a wretched, miserable sinner. By God, I know I am. But despite it all, I'm loved by God. Do you know that you're loved by God? That's what I ask you tonight. Do you know that you're loved by God totally and unconditionally? If you're not sure, then have a look. That's how much you matter to God, that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you on the cross. Look at the cross. See how much God loves you. How much you matter to him. Doesn't it make all the difference to know that God loves us? I'm loved by God. Do you know, I heard someone say once, you know, when you get up in the morning, you should look in the mirror and say, I am loved by God. And when I look at the mirror in the morning, I don't always have a very pleasant surprise. But every so often I do pluck up the courage and say, despite the way my hair looks, despite the mess, I'm loved by God. And that's what can make all the difference. I'm loved by God. You're loved by God. Catholics are loved by God. Orthodox are loved by God. Anglicans are loved by God. Protestants are loved by God. And don't let's stop there. Jews are loved by God. Muslims are loved by God. Buddhists are loved by God. Hindus are loved by God. God's love is not just for us Christians. God's love is for all people. And I tell you this, if we really open our hearts and lives to the love of God in Jesus Christ, then it's going to show, isn't it? It needs to show. And I don't go around saying to people, are you saved? I've never done it. And please, God, don't let me ever do it. But what I do know is this. Yes, not so much, are you saved? But you're loved by God. God loves you. But God wants people to know this. And that's where we Christians really need to come to life. Because it's our task to show the love of God. To say to people, wake up, you're loved by God. God is real. God exists. God's alive. That's the wonderful thing we've heard from Mona. The reality of God. The reality of God. He's real. He's not a figment of my imagination. Of course, in the West, we don't really want God to show himself too much. It might disturb us too much. But by God, we do need disturbing, don't we? We need disturbing. We need to wake up. We need to open our hearts and our lives to the love of God in Jesus Christ, and then to reflect it in our lives. But the starting point is to know that I'm loved by God. God loves me. God loves even wretched me. But God loves me. And therefore I can hold my head up high, and you can hold your head up high. And this is something that we need to bear witness to in our lives. Actually, I've said quite enough now. But you've got the gist. To become like a child is to open one's heart to love. And then to seek to just make that love so clear to those around. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.